All You Need to Know is brought to you by no one. No one at all.
Welcome to All You Need to Know, the show where you hear about everything and learn about nothing. Here are your hosts, Quinn Eaton
and Isaac Bayer.
Welcome to this episode of All You Need to Know. My name is Quinn Eaton. With me today, Isaac Bayer. Who else would it be? It's Isaac. He's here. What's going on?
Who else would it be? I mean, think about that for a second.
You know, they say 90% of parenting is just being present, being there, right? Would you say that it's about the same for podcasting? 90, 95% of it's just, hey, let's meet this week. That'll do, kind of thing.
That's how it ought to be. If showing up is 90% of the job, how do you think DJ's kids is doing? Is 90% of the job.
Instead of talking about DJ's parenting, and I know for a fact that he's doing a wonderful job, he and his wife. So we'll move past that very briskly.
You teed it up. I had to say something.
Not on purpose. But instead of talking about that, I want you to talk a little bit about the dream that you had, because apparently we were very close to talking about a different subject today. If we would have gone with what your dreams were telling you to do, and dreams are very interesting. I even said, hey, maybe we should talk about dreams. And then I did the classic search, All You Need to Know dreams. And of course we have done the topic before, episode 59, if you were interested, but you had a dream apparently that I had texted you, said podcast tonight. The topic is soft crab. Now, can you elaborate on that? Any details you can remember for your dream, which dreams are hard to remember, but if you maybe wrote anything down.
No, see, that's the thing, is that I don't write the dreams down. You write the dreams down, which I think is very interesting, but you know, it's not me. And I don't really remember much. I do remember, it's awfully strange to have a dream where you just like check your phone for like a business purpose. And yeah, I just remember you pretty, like, you had a plan. We were going to talk about soft crab. I don't know if that means like soft crab meat. What if crabs were soft? Like, I don't really know the context as to, you know, it was a dream, of course. So there is context, but it was interesting to me that I dreamed about you coming up with a ridiculous and boring and otherwise mindless topic. I said,
And it's timely as well, because you didn't have this dream on a Thursday, Friday. You had it right around the time whenever I usually do shoot you a text and say, podcast this week, I don't have a topic. Yeah. So it is interesting. And to kind of elaborate a little bit on and unpack the soft crab thing, I do think it would have been typical All You Need to Know fashion to unpack every aspect of soft crab. I do think, though, we would have mainly focused on what if crabs were soft. I think it's pretty evident that crab meat itself is soft, especially
if you put it in a crab cake.
Dip it in some butter.
Fry it.
Sure,
yeah, crab cake. Yeah, that is true.
But yeah, crabs have a hard shell. It would be really weird if they had a soft shell. And then we probably would have went from there. We would have said soft shell, hard shell tacos. You know, what we prefer. That's how I see it.
Can't believe you had a half of a plan in case we were talking about.
No, that was all just off the top of my head. And now that I kind of had gotten through it, maybe next week's episode will be episode 311, soft crab, and we make your dreams come true.
I don't think that's a good idea at all. No disrespect.
What we're talking about today, though, is rather than it being a dream, is almost a nightmare. At least the motivation.
Could you say that?
An idea behind what we're talking about today. I'm excited to talk about this because it's something that we haven't tackled yet as a topic, but it is one of those things where you wish it was under different circumstances. So, before we dive in, do you have anything you want to lay out there? Or are you going to leave most of your heartfelt thoughts towards the end?
I didn't read the script that you sent as usual. I saw you send it, and then I saw you send it twice because you made some changes, but I didn't read it either time.
Okay. Well, that is nothing new. And so we'll power through it. Ladies and gentlemen listening, this is episode 310. Today's topic, Hidden Gems, and Hole in the Walls. So you haven't read the script. We know that for sure. We know that for certain. So it's as if you're listening to this episode, right? It's as if you're a fan.
Kind of the best way to do it.
You just clicked on this and you said, I can't wait to hear what these guys are going to talk about. But then you are one of those guys that's talking about it. And now I don't want to bring DJ back up, but you know, not looking at the script was kind of DJ's thing. I thought we were more on a professional.
It's my thing.
Okay, maybe it's both of you guys' thing. Maybe I should just stop spending so much time on these scripts. But
the difference is that I have formulated thoughts when engaging in conversation. Okay. I formulate original ideas.
And it's not a competition, of course, but I will allow that rebuttal to what I just said about you not participating in script reading and script analysis, but I will throw.
You know, he's admitted to a script. He's admitted that it's a script.
I will, and it's not a script; it's an outline. And let's make that clear, because surely if this was scripted, it would be a lot better. But I want to throw a question over to you. First off, we're talking about Hidden Gems and Hole in the Walls. Is there a difference, you think, between a hidden gem and a hole in the wall?
And the key operating word there is gem. You know, hidden, sure. Hole in the wall, sure. And then the gem, you're thinking, well, you know, it's better in quality. The hole in the wall doesn't, you know, it could be, well, let's just say the hole in the wall could be your favorite sandwich shop, and maybe not a lot of people like it. Maybe it's more of your thing, but it's a little hole in the wall.
Right. And a hole in the wall might even feature a couple of large holes in the walls where the management there at the establishment has not bothered to fix those issues in a restaurant that I'm just, you know, it might not exist, or it might. Half of the restaurant might be slanting downwards at a 30 degree angle. Like we, you never know with a hole in the wall. Whereas what you just said, a hidden gem, is more of, hey, this place is really good. It's spectacular. Nobody's talking about this place. You got to check it out. That's how I kind of differentiate the two, right? I might be wrong, but I do feel like that's a good baseline to put out there to start with, because we love to build a foundation here at All You Need to Know. You build the foundation, and then the rest of the podcast is the house. You're putting up, you know, the wooden structures, the insulation, things like that. So
you put in the holes.
And if you want to be a hole in the wall, stay true to the hole in the wall establishment. Yeah, you might put a couple holes in those walls. But what could a hidden gem be? Let's start out with that, because what I just used it as in a somewhat sub example was, wow, this place is spectacular. No one's heard about it. You need to go check it out, maybe before too many people find out about it, right? So what could that be?
I think
it's not a Chuck E. Cheese.
Generally speaking, no, right? It's not a Chuck E. Cheese. Now, if you're looking for specific examples, you've got the wrong guy.
Okay.
But I think in a kind of more generally, it's got to be an eatery. I mean, could you have like hidden gem? I don't know, like hiking trails. Sure. You know, or I don't really know, something similar, but generally you're really kind of weighing in heavy on the eateries portion.
Restaurant, these
definitions.
Bar, coffee, yeah. Shop.
Yeah, breakfasts is a big one.
Breakfast place.
There's always little diners, always hiding.
And you said maybe a hiking trail, maybe a park, right? Whoa, you got to go check out this park. Or even if you're on a hiking trail, make sure you go on this one, because one of the views that you get from there, wow, that's a hidden gem. Not a lot of people know about it. So there is definitely a difference between hidden gems and hole-in-the-wall places, because a hiking trail couldn't be a hole-in-the-wall, but a hiking trail could be a hidden gem. Whereas a mom-and-pop coffee shop that, you know, grinds their own beans and has some sort of special latte that no one else is doing in town, that could be both a hidden gem and a hole in the wall.
They're not mutually exclusive. The difference is the quality, I think.
That makes sense. And I think that that's good that we laid that out, like I was talking about just a second ago, because I don't want
And
anybody to
I'm a
be
gatekeeper.
confused. You're a
I'll
gatekeeper.
say it. I'm a gatekeeper. No offense. Listen, there's no offense at all. There's a particular restaurant that I like to go to. It's not really a hole in the wall. I would argue it's not even necessarily a hidden gem when you're waiting for a half an hour to get a table. It's not necessarily hidden or a hole in the wall. But I think to myself, what if it was worse? And so I'm always, I hate to see an ad for it, because I'm like, oh man, people are gonna go. It's such a good deal and the quality's so good. I'll have to wait 45 minutes instead the next time,
What you're implying is that it's okay to withhold or be secretive about a hidden gem or hole in the wall. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And I'll do it with no shame. Listen, if the business is struggling and you're like, wow, this is a great business that I am frequenting, it's a great restaurant, I don't want to go out of business, it's maybe a different story. But if they're really that good, then there's gonna be, it's gonna solve that problem on its own.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is there's a fine line between being secretive about it and harming the business that you want to support yourself. Because, like you said, if there are telltale signs that a business is going out of business, like no one's ever going in there, you don't ever see cars parked out front of it, it's in a bad location or right next to one of the more popular spots in town where people go to all the time, at least whenever it's open for a certain part of the year. You see all those things and you say, okay, I love this place, but do I love it enough to share it with others? Because the last thing you want is to be so secretive, to have that fist close instead of opening it up to other people and saying, this is a great place, you need to go try it. But you're saying Isaac Bayer on this date in April of 2024, it's okay to withhold a hidden gem.
In fact, you ought to do it. If you have something unique to you or to your group of people, hey, have the confidence in the business that they're gonna be all right, with you as the sole regular customer.
And that's fine. And that thought process kind of brings me on to
That in the
another.
poll. Are you a
Okay.
gatekeeper?
Are you a gatekeeper of your favorite hidden gem? I'll make sure to make a note of that. But moving right along, I was going to say that that sort of thought process leads me into another idea, which is at what point does a hidden gem just become a regular gym, right? And just so there's no confusion, maybe you skipped ahead in the podcast at some point. Whenever we say gym, we're talking GEM, not GYM. We're not talking about a place where you go move plates and you do
Or
cardio. We're
Jim, the
not talking about
owner
that.
operator. We're not talking about
Or
Jim.
gym. Yeah. Which gonna take a quick second to plug one of my favorite jokes of all time. In a Simpsons episode, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Homer
Eyebrow.
Simpson walking down the street and he sees a sign in neon across the way that says 24/7 gym, GYM. And he says, a gym, and he walks into it and he looks around, he sees all the weights and the treadmills and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, a gym. I have never laughed as hard as any time I see that skit. It's so stupid, but that confusion right there that Homer had could be the same for people that are listening to
I
this
hope not.
episode. Well,
I hope
we
not.
hope not, but I just wanted to make that clear before we moved on. But like I was asking, at one point does something stop being a hidden gem and it's just a regular gem that everybody knows about and goes to?
It's when you have failed at your job of gatekeeping. It's
Ah, okay.
when the waters they were trickling and the structural integrity was degrading and finally it bust. And you let the wrong person know because they let a bunch of their friends know, and then all of them went out as a group and it spread. And now you have to wait 20 minutes to get a table, whereas once they knew you by name and had your order ready for you.
And maybe new management comes in, takes over the gym, and
Yeah.
now it's not the same gym that you found initially. It's not even worth it. Is there any bigger F you, slap in the face, than telling somebody, hey, listen, keep it on the down low. This is a great place if you're in town. You know, take a right at the statue on the corner, and then take it one, go past one stoplight. It's on your left. It looks like a really beat down shack or an old house, but that's where you're going to get, you know, the best crab cakes you've ever had, right? At what point, or could it be any bigger of an F you than if that friend takes your suggestion, goes to this place, and then all of a sudden you see a flurry of pictures, posts on social media saying,
yeah,
love this little place. You guys have to check it out. Is there any bigger, you know, middle finger right to your right in front of your eyes than having someone do that?
I'd rather somebody spit on me,
yeah,
than lose the near exclusive rights to one of my favorite eateries.
And it's in this day and age, it's tough for that to not happen, and it always drives me nuts because I'll see stuff, you know, in places that I like to vacation, or you know, the places that I've lived, where somebody will be on social media and says, these are the top 10 hidden gyms, or make sure you try out these not so popular, or, you know, soon to be popular restaurants. And then boom, like that whole exclusivity of knowing about that place is gone in just a post, because then they get shared. Somebody says, oh, that's cool, I'm going to send this to my friend. That person sends it to five friends. Like you were saying, it just spreads like a wildfire. And it destroys the thing that you love. The restaurant that, like you said, you used to walk right in. They knew your name. Maybe even a table. Have you ever had a place where there's a table? They're like, oh, Mr. Bayer, table in the corner. Go ahead.
Not me, not personally. But you have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. Yeah.
You're kidding. Where is that?
Applebee's.
Where is that?
Murray.
Are you joking me? That's disgusting.
Oh.
Move past this.
I frequented that place, half price apps, $1.50 PBRs. They treated me like royalty there. I miss that place. But anyways.
It's not a hole in the wall, by the way.
No, but I just brought it up.
It's got some holes in the wall.
And there's definitely some things to be desired, like a hole in the wall might lead you to at an Applebee's. Is just real quick, because I'm just thinking about this, is Chili's a step up from Applebee's?
Probably two steps up. I've never really went to a bad Chili's. Chili's isn't really cheap. Chili's is kind of on the nicer end of chain restaurants.
Chili's is not a sponsor, but I just went the other day and they have a $10.99 three for me going on right now.
You've told me about this one.
It's crazy. I got chips and salsa. I got a burger with fries, and I got a soft drink for $11. And I mean, walk into a Five Guys, right? You're spending $18 for a burger, fries, and a drink. So just saying.
Really? I don't need a Five Guys. That doesn't sound right.
It is. Five Guys is one of the more expensive fast food places, which all fast food's becoming a lot more expensive. But let's not get off track, even though I do want to, real quick, is there anything in between?
Can Chili's be a hole in the wall?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Can a hole in the wall?
Can a franchise of any kind be considered a hidden gem or a hole in the wall place?
I already asked you. You've been asking me questions all episode. I'm asking you. Is your local Chili's a hole in the wall? Is any Chili's a hole in the wall?
I will say I saw a picture of a Chili's out in, I think, Estes Park, Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. And it looks like a cabin. It looks like a huge, I think it's a two-story cabin Chili's with deer mounted on the walls and outdoors things hanging on the different parts of the restaurant. And I don't know what it is about a restaurant, but if I walk in and there's old timey stuff hanging on the walls, I'm almost guaranteed to have a better experience, right? I don't know what it is, but Cracker Barrel, I'm talking to you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing
a
great
job.
I
love a Cracker Barrel. Let me tell you about this. 40 minutes south of here, there's a Taco Bell. It used to be a bank.
Right.
They just turned the bank into a Taco Bell. They kept everything identical. It's very bizarre.
So maybe a franchise
Wasn't,
can be
yes.
a hidden
Jim,
gem,
no.
a hole in the wall. I think it would be more of a
It's a
hidden gem than
normal.
it would be a hole in the wall, because a hole in the wall place, I do think, is something that people have never heard of. It's not everywhere. Whereas a hidden
Hard
gem,
to find.
it's hard to find. Whereas a hidden gem is more of a, hey, you've probably been to a Chili's before, but you haven't ever been to this Chili's. You've probably gone to a Taco
True.
Bell, but you've
Now
never
that's a
been to
good
this
point.
one. And so what
This
you're
Taco Bell
talking
is a
about,
bank.
yeah, so taking your kiddos to the Taco Bell bank, that's a hidden gem, possibly. The Chili's that I was talking about, that may or may not be in Colorado, that's a hidden gem. I think any restaurant that moves into a place that probably wasn't meant to be a restaurant, you could almost guarantee that it becomes a hidden gem, because even though you're sitting at an IHOP, it feels like it's different, even though you're getting the same IHOP experience as if you went to one that they just built right in the middle of a parking lot, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess that's true.
And I think, and I don't want to overstep here, but I think a really good franchise restaurant business that is good at doing that is Mellow Mushroom. I don't know if you've ever been to a Mellow Mushroom before, pizza
Wow.
place,
Oh,
but
now that is an interesting take.
they tend to look for more unique buildings to put their
Yeah,
restaurants in.
that's a great point. I have to agree with you on that. I've only been to maybe like three or four Mellow Mushrooms, but they've never been, to my knowledge, they've never been just been like part of the, part of the riffraff on the downtown strip. You
Yeah.
know, it's always like a little bit out of the way, or maybe it's like on the way or to something, or leaving something,
Which
and it's never just a normal building.
you say that there is actually a Mellow Mushroom on Broadway in Nashville. But then you think of back where
Well, I
we
gotta make
both,
money somehow.
right? But you think of where we used to live, one in Paducah, Kentucky, went into an old Coca-Cola factory, and they kept basically all the building, all the character of the building is still intact, except you're sitting in a Mellow Mushroom. That's kind of a hidden gem. And I just thought of another thing that can be a hidden gem, something that once used to be plentiful that is now dwindling, but it's still considered a franchise. I'm talking an Old
Radio
Country
Shack.
Buffet. I'm talking a Radio Shack. I'm
They're
talking a
out of business.
Rainforest Cafe. Okay.
Green Forest Cafe as a whole, as a hidden
Hidden
gem?
gem. Yes, because
No. I have to disagree.
so many of them. Go ahead and tell me why you disagree while I look up how many Rainforest cafes are left.
I'll tell you, it's like 11. And I'll tell you why. It's because everybody knows. You say the words Rainforest Cafe, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, you've been to one? Well, no, but they know what they are. It's not hidden. And frankly, the gem caveat to the rule here is a little bit shaky, depending on the Rainforest Cafe you're going to. Now, listen, I got nothing but love for a Rainforest Cafe. I would love to go to a Rainforest Cafe, but let's not put on airs. Hidden gem? I don't think so. And it's certainly not a hole in the wall because they're usually pretty big and like inside a ball.
And that's a fair point. While you were discussing why you disagreed, I was looking up the Rainforest Cafe numbers, the number breakdown. There are 18 left, around 18 left in the United States and Canada. So this is a thing that blew up in the 90s, right? Because you had places like Rainforest Cafe, or probably Planet Hollywood. Like, you had different types of these weird chains. I guess you could say experience-based restaurants or dining, something like that.
What's it say? Maybe like heavily themed.
Yeah, a heavily themed restaurant. Now, I would say that a Rainforest Cafe is a hidden
Margaritaville.
gem. Now, Margaritaville's doing fine. Of course,
I'm
the
not saying
captain of
us.
Margaritaville passed away. Rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett.
I'm
I'm still
saying they're in
torn
the
up
same
about that.
situation. They're in the same situation. There's only a handful of them left in the country. Some of them could be, some of the quality of some of them is arguable. They're in almost an identical situation as to the Rainforest Cafe.
Have you seen the plans for the high speed Margaritaville rail system that connects all Margaritavilles across the United States?
No, I
I think it's
haven't seen that.
happening. I think Joe Biden is working on getting that. Now, hey, I don't want to get political, but if Joe Biden came out and said, "My promise as president in my second term, I will build the Margaritaville high speed rail system that connects all Margaritavilles across the country," don't you think that would help them out?
How do you plan on building a high-speed rail in the Florida Keys over the ocean? How do they do it?
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Listen,
You
you
know
put on
what?
some
Talk
Jimmy
to me about
Buffett.
doing that with the Rainforest Cafe and we can have a discussion.
You put on
How
some
about
Jimmy
that?
Buffett. Kind of just relax and look over some plans. I'm sure they could figure out the high speed rail system. And yes, I'm right there with you. If we could figure out a Rainforest Cafe rail system, or hell, even a rail system where you're dining in a Rainforest Cafe as you're traveling across the country. Now
Oh.
that is a $1 million idea. I'll make sure to write that down. And I say that even though I think Rainforest Cafes are struggling. So maybe it's not the best idea. But enough
How do we
about.
connect this to a hole in the wall?
Well, this was, could a franchise be a hole in the wall or hidden gem? And I think we actually really dove into that. I'm proud of the work that we just did there. But I do want to set aside some time for us to kind of discuss, because I'm sure as we've talked about this throughout the episode, besides the last probably 5 minutes where we talked about Rainforest Cafe for a majority of it, but I think a lot of people have been in the back of their head thinking of their very own personal hidden gems and hole in the wall places. And so whenever you've been thinking about this, and you've lived in a couple different parts of the country, are there any that kind of come to mind that really meant something to you? And of course, this is where you could gatekeep and not be specific, but it's also a place where you could say, here in blah blah blah, I used to go down here. They had a great club sandwich. Like that. This is your opportunity to kind of share some of those things, I guess.
Let's see. Really, and I'll go ahead and get into it now because we've got a little time left. I don't even see the timer. Oh, and there it is, as if on cue. I'll go ahead and listen, I'll say it. It's a sad day to be a small business in America. All right. In the various factors that affect businesses, two businesses. You already know where I'm going with this. He already wrote this in the script. Two businesses back where we both are from are now out of business. Two absolutely, you could call them holes in the walls. They're really from the outside. You would look at it and you would say, "Oh, that's a little, I'm not sure I'd want to go in there." You would go in there and say, "Wow, it doesn't look any better on the inside." But then when you ordered the food, you would say, "Wait a second. These people are cooking something up special." One of those, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one of the main characteristics, I think, for a good hole in the wall place is the likelihood that since its conception, nothing has changed. There has been no improvements made to the outside or inside of the building. The two places that you're talking about specifically in the small town of Murray, Kentucky, was exactly that. You walked in and it was like a time capsule, like you had just walked back in time as soon as you went through the threshold
Right
of
back to
the
the 80s
door.
and 90s. Yep.
Exactly.
And it's a real shame because both of these holes in the walls operated during our parents' time at the university there. It's at least two generations of service, both out of business now. And they were certainly holes in the walls. A special shout out to Victor's Sandwiches, at my favorite sandwich shop I've ever been to. Victor passed away this week.
Rest in
He
peace.
passed away this week, and his, it was just a little family small business, his wife and his daughter, as far as I am aware, and they won't be continuing the business. And it's a real shame because that was my one hole in the wall. Now, admittedly, Victor's, I had a fear that Victor's was always at all times on the verge of bankruptcy.
And
so I was not a gatekeeper.
Teetering.
In fact, I was heavily encouraging Quinn and many other people. I was heavily encouraging them to visit Victor's and to go frequent their business. In the end, it really, I guess it didn't matter all that much. But I love some Victor's. And Hungry Bear, of course, was the other one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think
it's a sad day, like I said, to be a small business, to be a hole in the wall, really, because the bigger businesses tend to not be holes in the walls.
Right. And, you know, is it weird that, you know, you're eulogizing a business and a man that ran said business? Maybe not, of course, because this place meant something to you. It played an important role, a critical part of your life.
Victor's t-shirt.
Yeah. And that thing will be worth nothing. Because the business is probably not going to continue. Is there any sort of desire for you to go back and take over, pitch, you know, to buy the place and bring it back to its glory days, which I'm not really sure when that was, but
yeah, I don't have the overhead. I don't have the capital to do that. If I did, would I do it? Probably. I probably would. I would say, don't change anything. I don't know how you make that bread pudding. I don't know if that's real. Keep it up is what I would say.
And listen, I wish I could sit here and say that I was a supporter of the business. I wasn't. And now, of course, with hindsight, I wish I might have, you know, put a couple more trips, had a couple more trips down to Victor's Sandwich Shop. I was one of the people that did recognize that there weren't a lot of people going in there. Wasn't sure how they were staying afloat, basically. But God bless them for figuring it out for as long as they did, and for bringing great sandwiches and bringing together people over, you know, some meat between two slices of bread and some bread pudding, of course. But what you were kind of talking about
free
there
is refills
and free refills. Yeah. God bless. But I was thinking while you were talking, maybe most people experience their hole in the wall places while they're in college. Right? It does seem like that's a time. It's either your hometown or the place you went to college, I would say, is mostly where you know, you're having these hole in the wall places, because there is a little bit of a nostalgia to it, right? Maybe it's not the best place, but you have memories attached and you'll go back there. I know for my parents in their college hometown, there's a restaurant there that's very popular that they ate at and frequented in their time in college. I know for me, I went to Hungry Bear from time to time in Murray, and then another place I think called High Burger, Rudy's on the Square in Murray.
That's not a hole in the wall, though. It's on the downtown square. It's on the square downtown.
I don't think you can say downtown Murray.
Let us not be blinded by nostalgia in the pursuit of holes in the walls.
Exactly. And everybody has their own. Like I was talking about earlier, everybody was thinking of, oh, you know, they're talking about hole in the walls. I remember that place that I always go to get, you know, a breakfast sandwich, or, oh man, that cup of coffee that I had from that little place that one time I went there was phenomenal, right? I think it's great. I mean, like you were talking about, small businesses need some sort of support. And so it is a weird, you know, balancing act between making sure you don't want too many people to know about it, but then also making sure that the business stays in business. Because I'm thinking of a restaurant that I go to in South Carolina, love it, but we don't tell anybody about it because it started out as a very small place and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and more people are finding out about it. So I'm not even going to mention it by name because I don't want anybody to know, right?
It's like hours away. It's like a 15-hour drive away from you. That doesn't, you don't have any.
Doesn't matter. I don't want you to know.
That's just, it seems like an in-town thing. It seems like an accessible thing you would want to gatekeep. Do you gatekeep something 15 hours away from you?
Well, I'm gatekeeping it because I know that it's doing well, right? That's the thing, is if you have a place that you know is doing well, you can kind of say, I'm not going to mention it by name, but it's a good place. Whereas on the flip side, you had Victor's, which closed for different reasons, but of course it probably, you know, if it was bringing in, you know, let's not get into the details too much, right?
You watch what you're saying about Victor's.
I did. I just stopped myself. But yeah, hole in the walls, hidden gems. These are all places that mean a lot to us, even if it's just, a sandwich and a refillable soda, right? It's as simple as that. It means something, even though it doesn't necessarily mean a
Part of
lot.
you. The hole in the wall is part of you. And
Exactly.
now a hole in your heart because they're out of business.
And not to end on a sad note, but we have kind of wrapped up what we wanted to talk about with this episode. Very interesting, very I think introspective. I'm happy with how this went. And I am now I'm gonna either go to a Chili's or a Rainforest Cafe, which is the exact opposite effect of what this episode
Isn't
was supposed
Nashville
to
still
have.
open?
Yeah, the Rainforest Cafe in Nashville is doing
You were
fine.
lucky. You're
They
lucky for that.
did remove the hippo that sat in the shallow pool of water outside of
Oh,
it, though. That is gone.
why?
I'm sure somebody jumped on it or it stopped working. I don't know. It's kind of like the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band, right? You can only fix it so many times before you say, all right, listen, let's just get rid of this thing. So I think that's probably what happened. But I also probably think that some kid probably stuck his hand into the hippo's mouth and it shocked him or something. Then they sued him for, $500,000. That's how things usually work. But enough about Rainforest Cafe. That is, unless Rainforest Cafe wants to be a sponsor, and we've reached out to them before about that, we'd love for that to
Be doing
happen.
a pod in Rainforest Cafe. I'll be making a visit down south. I'll be making a visit back home before
Would
the
love
end of the
that.
year.
Would love
And
it.
we will go to the Rainforest Cafe. We'll either do it in the Rainforest Cafe or immediately post Rainforest Cafe experience.
Maybe waiting in the little shallow pool outside of it where the hippo used to be. That would be a full circle
Perfect.
moment. That's good.
Perfect.
We'll talk more about that, but that's it for this episode. My name is Quinn Eaton.
I'm Isaac Baer.
And this has been All You Need to Know.
This has been All You Need to Know. If you have a topic you would like to hear about, message us on Twitter or Facebook or send us an email at allyouneed2know00@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And tune in every Wednesday because here at AYN2K, we've got you covered.